Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I want to welcome those of you who are listening to the broadcast in our new time slot, which is now from 3 to 4 every afternoon Pacific time. If you're Central, it's from 5 to 6 your time, or if you're East Coast, 6 to 7 your time. So be sure to share that information with your friends. This programming is about personally empowering you as an individual, and we have guests from all over the world, each of them bringing their own special insight and talent. And so many of you, especially today when we're so much open, more open about talking about intuitive abilities and capacities, are interested in people that have different talents or demonstrate them or can talk about the intuitive side of self, the psychic self, whatever term you're comfortable with, allowing you as an individual to be able to maybe expand your own talents. Well, that's what we're going to be doing today. Now, I want to, before I go to my guest, Patricia Heller, I want to give out our toll-free telephone number so that if you want to call in later on in the show, you can do so, 877-876-5227. And as always, I encourage you to have a pad of paper and a pen handy so you can write down information that you find valuable. I want to welcome Patricia Heller. We're going to be talking about her book, If You Hear the Message Three Times, Listen. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Donna.
Now, you're back on the East Coast. Where on the East Coast?
I'm in a little town in the Hudson River Valley where I have just renovated a hunting lodge on 20 acres.
Oh, my goodness. That is a job.
It was a worthwhile job because in 4 months it went up $250,000 in value.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. I know. We're supposed to be above all that.
Oh, heavens. There's nothing above money. I mean, it's just there. I'd hate to have to deal with cows because money is only a medium of exchange, but thank goodness we don't have to deal with cows. Can you imagine sending a few United parcel? That would be tough.
250,000 cows?
Yeah. Yes, that's a lot of moo.
I tell you, when you were talking about the time zone,
yes.
I was sitting there thinking, oh, yes. Now, what she, I guess, doesn't know that when you, as you become more and more enlightened and more intuitive, then you get out of the earth plane in time and you become more ethereal. Now, if you believe that one, then you're going to believe that as a singer, I have to gain more weight so I can be grounded, right?
Well, let's hope not.
I had more trouble with the time zone today. It was just crazy.
Well, I know that we've got a subject matter that is going to be of interest to all of my listeners because we're going to be talking about you, your psychic ability, the roads you've traveled. So I want to give them a little bit of background about you because during your 40s and 50s, you briefly studied voice at Juilliard and writing at Yale. But you said because of things that happened to you, you were led and directed into the psychic area. It was a do-it-yourself journey, which I find is pretty much the case with just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have a joy about sharing your talents with other people. However, I want to go back in time because I don't think that really gives all of the story. Your book in your intro opens up with you being a child that always needed a lot of sleep. And then you talk about how as an adult, after your son was born, you ended up with what we would call today chronic fatigue syndrome. How in the world could chronic fatigue syndrome have led you into this journey of the psychic self-discovery?
Oh, it was the perfect entry for me because I had spent my life being on stage, you know, being the second daughter in a family that wanted boys. I came out of the womb tap dancing and singing. And so the way to, it would become exhausting. And the way to get off stage, I found, without knowing it, was illness. So chronic fatigue was an illness that was tailor-made for me because, one, nobody believed it, so I had to learn to fight for my right to have the illness. This was way back when it started. And it was, you know, I could be Camille. I could go to bed and woe is me. And then I could push through after about 3 or 4 days and do something wonderful. I mean, it was exactly what I've been doing all my life. But when they said it was incurable, when they finally believed that it was real and said it was incurable, that's when I drew the line. And I said, I don't do incurable. And I started going out. And when my husband was alive, wonderful, wonderful man, he would send me anywhere I wanted to go, but through the conventional and traditional routes to try to find a cure.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, I had exhausted all those routes. And that's when I got pushed out into something that was not my comfort zone, which was spirituality, enlightenment, self-discovery, and self-improvement. And at the very first conference I went to, one with Rue Joy, I learned how to heal myself after 12 years of chronic fatigue syndrome.
There are so many stories that people have. Each and every one of them is unique, as yours is. And this journey that you went through with illness, the challenges of dealing with all of the changes, you said you came up with three major messages. One, that there's no right or wrong way to make a transformational journey to self-healing, right, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. Two, that you can heal yourself from any illness. And three, to affirm that gifts of healing, intuition, and manifestation are available to anyone willing to be open to them.
Mm-hmm.
You condensed that down to those three. Why was it just three?
Because the name of my book is
uh-huh.
You hear
there
the
go.
Message three times, listen.
Okay, that's it. All right. If you hear the message three times,
well,
listen.
You know what it is? I did try to work in threes through the book, and because that was just the message that was coming through to me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You saw in the first chapter how I got the title, If You Hear the Message Three Times. So it was a gift to me from the universe.
Now, you've got to tell that story, because
okay.
That occurred in Hawaii, which is one of my favorite places. And I've had very, very special experiences when I was broadcasting there. So you've got to tell how this title, how this message.
Well, okay. I was at a conference in Hawaii, a spiritual conference. And that night at dinner, somebody asked me what I did, and I said, well, I'm writing a book. And so they asked the inevitable, what is the name? And I said, I don't know. So I was embarrassed, and I thought, well, okay. Well, during the time we were there, there was a cave that people were taking a swim across the cave and diving under a ledge and coming up in a beautiful blue lagoon. And this was kind of a spiritual bath. Well, I decided I wanted to do this alone, that if I did it alone, of course, I'd go up in the Blue Lagoon and get the meaning of life. So I go up there alone one day and test the water, and it's fine. And I'm a swimmer, a scuba diver. You know, I have
mm-hmm.
all the credentials. I mean, I know you shouldn't be swimming alone, but in that sacred place of Hawaii, I figured I'd be just fine. So I dive into the water. It is so cold, I thought I was going to drown. I was being pulled down into a black abyss. I started swimming for the shore thinking, what happened to the warm water? And I got out, and I was just devastated that I couldn't do this dive. And I'm sitting there, and as I'm sitting there, the song, I don't know how to love him, what to do, how to move him, comes out of my mouth. And, you know, it's all about love for something bigger than yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm walking home, and, you know, didn't have the dive that I wanted, which was coming back as, you know, levitating in a sacred state of grace, I started thinking about all this. And, you know, my ego was dashed at that point. And I thought, you know, I can't get this. I don't know what the message is. And I thought, you know, it's kind of like when I was ill, I had to hear the message three times before I could understand what was wrong with me. Three times I had to hear it. And all of a sudden I got a click, and I went, that's it. If you hear the message three times, listen. And that was the name of my book. So I was enlightened that day. I got the name of my book, and my life changed. But until my ego got out of the way with that flash of cold water and, you know, dashing all my expectations of levitating back in gossamer wings, I wasn't going to hear anything. So, you know, my advice on that is whenever you are drawn or pulled to a place or called to a place, for one reason. When you get there, keep your eyes and ears open, because you probably are going to get there for a different reason. It was like my trip to Egypt. I went to spend the night alone in the Great Pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up spending the night alone in the Great Sphinx, because the pyramid was closed for repairs.
Well, as you can tell, my guest Patricia Heller has a good sense of humor. And we're taking ourselves lightly, but at the same time, she has a lot of good wisdom to share in her book, which is If You Hear the Message Three Times, Listen. And what I was intrigued with were the many different variables that you share with people about what your journey has entailed. And one of them had to do with a hawk, which I think is one of the most fabulous birds on the planet. And this hawk became a totem for you.
Yes.
Tell us what a totem is, and why was that totem so significant for you?
Well, I learned it at that conference that I was attending in Arizona, and we were sent out early on to go talk, go receive a message from something in nature, and go talk to something. Well, if you remember, if you ever read Michael Crichton's book, Travels, you know, the guy that wrote Jurassic Park and all that
mm-hmm,
stuff,
mm-hmm.
He talks about, he was at a conference like this, and he went out to look for his totem, and, you know, just wanted something magnificent, couldn't find it, and finally, in a courtyard, this scrubby, old, beaten up to hell, oops, to heck, cactus was his totem that talked to him. Well, with me...
Now, wait a minute. Let's back up here.
Okay.
We have a talking cactus that has spines. This was his totem?
Oh, he was so ugly. The cactus was so ugly.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can't remember the words of wisdom that that he got from it, but it was quite significant. So, you know, I had read this. So I go out looking for my totem, and I've decided that I'm going to, you know, have something really significant. But everything is just talking to me. I mean, I kick a rock, and I think, oh, my God, it's got to be fraught with meaning. And, you know,
Patricia, someone listening to this is going to think, this woman is from, let's see, what planet out there? Plomp, 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 plomp planet?
Well, you know what? It is. One thing about this journey to higher consciousness, it can be fun.
It should be
joyful. Yes. Remember, I was ill. I had just lost my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I had this attitude about life that, you know, it can only get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I can learn, and I can become a better person. And one of the easier ways to do that is with joy.
Absolutely.
And, you know, enjoying yourself, another joy word. So at any rate, while now everything is talking to me, I go out, and three times I saw a hawk, and it didn't register. When I came to the conference, he was sitting on a mound looking like a doorman at a New York apartment. And then, let's see, another time I went out for a hike because I was going to spend the night alone in the woods, which is another interesting story. And that a girl's going to spend the night in the woods that lives in New York City. It worked.
Park
but,
Avenue.
But, you know, I was thinking, hey, I was raised in Kodiak, Alaska. I'm a woods woman.
Oh, yes, right.
3 to 10 on a naval base in Kodiak in a duplex. Yeah, I'm a woods woman. But at any rate, so I saw the hawk that day. He kind of guided me to what I thought was the best camping spot in all of Arizona. And then the third time, it was the last day of the conference, and I hadn't found my totem. And I was just up there thinking, oh, my God, I have flunked totems 101. And
no cactus for you, dear.
No cactus, no nothing. And I'm sitting on this ledge on top of this mountain, and I see this hawk flying way, way off. And I'm thinking, oh, man, you know, I really, really wanted to have a message. And all of a sudden, the hawk is right over my head and lets out a big screech. And I looked up and I went, oh, that's three times. Thank you. I got it. And, you know, then I started looking up hawk. You know, I didn't just go into my intuition, but my intuition told me that, you know, hawks get the overview.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually looked it up in Jamie Sands' medicine card book. And it was all about the healer and all about pulling back from the little picture to the big picture, it was exactly what I needed to hear at that time and place.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier when we started chatting about Brew Joy.
Yes.
And this man, you describe him as just being very tall, very slim. Many, many years ago, he had been a conventional medical doctor. He had an outstanding practice, lots of wonderful credentials from Johns Hopkins internship, residency at Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
He was Phi Beta Kappa at the University of Southern California. I mean, it goes on and on. Yet he decided to step out of the conventional, conservative, traditional positioning into a journey of his own. When you had the opportunity to link up with this man, what were the gifts that he gave you that were your ahas?
Well, he and I get along like oil and water. So that's one of them, is that he always challenged me. And he was the perfect teacher for me because he was, you know, he had been a conventional medical doctor. I was a traditional, conventional girl. You know, so to take a journey like this and step outside my comfort zone, I needed a guide that, you know, I could connect with in some way or another. The reason he stepped out of conventional medicine, one, he found it was keeping people ill, and two, he had pancreatitis. He got ill.
Mm-hmm.
And he went around the world searching for psychic, spiritual, and emotional healing, and found people not only getting well but staying well. And within 6 weeks, his pancreatitis was gone. And I have he gives, I think, hands down, the best conference I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of them. But he also brings in lush accommodations. So you don't feel like, oh, I'm going on a spiritual journey, so now I got to get rid of all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be who you are. And that's one of the reasons that I wrote that second chapter. There is no right or wrong way to make a transformational journey. And my book and my examples are just that. They're just examples to show you how one lady made her journey to live a higher consciousness and a more aware consciousness. But I by no means prescribe that you follow everything that I've done. You know, if there's something in there that helps you, that's fantastic. Because I've learned a lot of things that can help a lot of people. One of the things I learned at that first conference with Prue was Heart Center. Heart Center is hands down the foundation for everything that I am. And well, Heart Center is basically just when you meditate, when you do anything, when you brush your teeth, you focus on your heart and the four attributes, which are compassion, innate harmony, healing presence, and unconditional love. And if you have those four things for yourself and you can pull them in from the universe to yourself, you've got enough to give to everybody.
Absolutely. But more importantly, you can give it to yourself.
And that's
and then
most
it can
important.
Flow out very comfortably to everybody.
And that's where you start healing. That's where you start getting well. That's where you start staying well, is when you can keep that heart center connection between you and your source, because that's really all that it's about.
For you that may have just tuned in, my guest today is Patricia Heller. We're talking about her enlightening book, If You Hear the Message Three Times, Listen. And for those of you that have been listening, you know that both of us, Patricia and myself, have a good sense of humor about our work and about what we're involved with, because that's healthy. I think, just as Patricia has said, that it's important to realize that everybody's journey is their journey. And one of the biggest things that happens too frequently, and Patricia, you just stated this yourself, is that people will say, gee, I've got to experience exactly what somebody else has experienced, otherwise I'm not making it, and that's not true. And that's your challenge. You can have someone that might be an example, but just like you had your own individual experience, Patricia, with the hawk, with the pool in Hawaii, I mean, you, in one sense, were disillusioned by some of the things that were going on because they just weren't happening the way your imagination and your expectation thought that it was going to happen.
Right.
And so you say to anybody at this time, which is what you just mentioned a moment ago, and that is just know that you're okay and that you can listen, you can learn, But understand, you got to walk the walk. Nobody is going to be able to do it for you, period.
Right. And if you keep an attitude of joy and curiosity, that's when you start moving leaps and bounds. You know, you find yourself, you know, of course you're supposed to have no comparisons, no judgments, and delete your need to understand when you're looking around at other people and their journey and all that kind of stuff. But joy and humor will just open doors to the universe that nothing else will. I mean, they have a sense of humor up there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's very important. I really enjoyed your section on the four psychic senses. Let's talk about that portion a little bit.
Okay.
That's psychic intuition, psychic hearing, psychic vision, and then also psychic feeling. Well, those are senses that we all have on one level or another. Some of them are much more acute than others, depending on what we give attention to. You bring up these four. How do they signify a particular level of information that you want to convey to your readers? What was so important about just having these four?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do was because since I kind of always have been a little psychic. I mean, we all are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, when I say that, I'm not saying that, you know, I was and, oh, you know, that makes me special. Everybody is born psychic. Everybody is born heart center. It's the layers that get put on us as we're growing up that squelch these things. So what I wanted to do after I found out the four psychic senses, I wanted to share it with other people so they could see where their best psychic talents lie. And as adults, it might be something different than it was as a child because as a child, it might have gotten squelched. I used to be kind of a psychic vision. I could see things.
Mm-hmm.
And as a child, and when my parents, you know, just said something about, oh, you know, go away, that's silly, you didn't see that, then I just started winning things. I became a psychic intuitive. And I mean, the first thing I won was a Red Clock radio, and I was so proud because, you know, I think these things serve us. It served me because, again, I always had to feel special. Well, I felt special when I win things. Everybody thinks I'm special.
Mm-hmm.
So I continue to win things. I've won everything from Beanie Babies to Mercedes-Benz. But that is the intuitive psychicness where you just know things, like you know the numbers, you know you're going to win. The psychic hearing is where you hear things. Like if you've asked a question and all of a sudden somebody's walking behind you talking to someone and boom, there's the answer. Or a song can bring you something.
Mm-hmm.
Psychic vision is where I remember buying a house in Long Island. I hadn't seen the inside. I knew exactly what it looked like. And I told the realtor, I said, go get the keys. I'll go get my husband. And we bought it that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then men have a lot of this psychic feeling, which is the gut reaction.
Yes,
but women have it too.
Mm-hmm.
Women will walk into a room and just feel like a blast of cold air or, you know, open warm arms. These are the four senses that we have, and these are the four senses that we can nurture and open. That's why the psychic intuitive... Oh, one thing to tell psychic intuitives, because anybody who just knows things and doesn't know how they know them, let me tell you that the things that you know are usually about the future. That'll just make you so much happier because I always see these things that are going to be happening, and I want them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's about the future. So you just have to kind of sit back and go, okay, I'll keep moving in that direction. And then it always happens, always.
Now, you must tell your ghost story about when you and your husband were visiting brand new friends that you had made, the Sydneys, in England.
Yes. Well, I didn't realize how sensitive I was, but I wanted to feel a ghost. And I had heard from the Sydneys that we were visiting their children, actually, that had a wonderful farm. I'd heard from the Sydneys that there was a ghost in the house and that he was in the living room and that Mr. Sydney would not even go in the house anymore. Well, my big brave husband was going to sit outside on the porch and have iced tea while I went in. So I went on the tour, And I got into the living room, and I felt nothing. And I thought, oh, shucks. And then we went into this other room that, oh, my gosh, I got such a wonderful, warm feeling, you know, just personal feeling of euphoria. And when we finished the tour, I said to the daughter, I said, you know, I didn't feel the ghost. And she had said in the living room he had combed her hair and, you know, one night. And I said, but I did get an incredible feeling in that other room. And she said, well, that's the living room. She said, and he likes pretty girls. So, and it was funny because later that year, I was in Nantucket with my girlfriend who was looking for her ghostly relatives in the local cemetery. And I was just being bombarded by spirits in Nantucket. I mean, there's just so many of them. And I finally just kind of shook it off, and I said, let's walk to town. And so there was this big, beautiful building that was open for tour. And she said, let's go in. I'll pay for it. And I said, I don't want to. There's more ghosts. And she said, no, come on. And so I walked up to the woman at the tour, and I said, do you have ghosts in here? And she said, yes. And I said, are they malevolent or benevolent? She said, benevolent. And I said, okay. So I walk in, and I go upstairs, and in this back room, I again get this wonderful feeling, and that's a child's room, and she said the ghost was a woman. And so then I walk to the front room, which was the woman's room, and I got nothing. And when I walk back downstairs, she said, oh, we switched the rooms because everybody felt like her room should be up front.
Uh-huh. Oh, there. Well, as you can tell, there's a lot in her book, a lot of stories. Some that might be a little sad on one hand, but they're real stories. They're Patricia's stories. My guest today has been Patricia Heller. Her book is If You Hear the Message Three Times, Listen. Patricia, what is your website address if people want to explore more of what you offer in the way of services, etc.?
Well, they'll have to write this down. This is tough. PatriciaHeller.com.
P-A-T-R-I-C-I-A, Patricia Heller, H-E-L-L-E-R. Well, we're almost out of time, Patricia. If you could leave a thought with my listeners, what would you want them to take away?
Well, you know, the name of my book is If You Hear the Message Three Times, Listen. Hopefully, you don't have to wait three times. You know, you will get so in tune to your body and your thoughts that when something comes to you, whether it be good or be bad, it's not a coincidence. It's a message. And just figure it out.
Hello.
All right. Well, Patricia, I know that we're going to be going to a break in just a moment, and I think there's someone that's on the phone line. If you're on the phone line, please wait until after the break, and then we'll be getting to you. But, Patricia, you have had such a wonderful life to this point, and I know that the adventure has just begun for you on so many different levels, and, of course, we wish you well. My guest today, Patricia Heller, if you hear the message three times, do listen. And she has a lot of tips in her book regarding different things that you can do to enhance your own intuitive abilities. And these, again, are from her own personal experience. Patricia, thanks so much.
It was my pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't forget, we have a toll-free line you'll be able to call into, 877-876-5227. Lots of good things to share when we come back.
Hello.
Again, if you hear the message three times, be sure and listen to Patricia Heller's book. We'll be back right after this. Hi, this
Hello.
Is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be opening up phone lines now. The
Hello.
Telephone number is area code 877-876-5227. If you'd like to call in today and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And I know we've got a caller waiting on the phone line. She's been very, very patient.
Hello.
Hello. This is Donna Sebo. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Linda from Oklahoma.
From where in Oklahoma?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, dear. Where are you calling in from Oklahoma?
Tulsa area.
From Tulsa?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. And your first name or initial again?
Linda.
Linda. All right, now, Linda, what I'm looking at with you is, first of all, medical. There are some medical issues that are going to need to be addressed. And you need to be very, very frank about what you're experiencing, because you're going to use both what I'd call a conventional medicine application as well as an alternative medicine application. And you need to be able to have the type of practitioner, doctor, whatever term you're comfortable with, that is going to be comfortable with both arenas. It will have a good understanding of both sides of the picture. And this is going to enable you to finally lay to rest something that has been like an ongoing condition. And I, at this moment, have no idea what it is. This is just the information as it's coming through in my mind. You have a tendency to absorb so much stress, and you carry it. And it's as if it's wrapped around you. The image that I'm getting in my mind is as if you've got this huge, huge body belt that is weighted down so heavily that it's very difficult for you to move forward, to accomplish anything. And as I am observing this, I want to say that it's time for you to let go of those things that you feel are your obligation to carry. And when I say that, it's an emotional burden. And consequently, it is keeping you in a situation of circumstances that keep repeating themselves over and over and over and over again. And I want you to unload this heaviness. If you will do that, and you are willing to be patient with the process, you're going to find a lot of things becoming much easier for you. And you also are very, very intuitive yourself, and I think sometimes that causes you a challenge because you don't know what to do with it frequently. It's as if it's a nuisance. And I would encourage you to be at ease with this part of you because it's meant to be a companion, a helpmate. It's part of living. It's part of life. It is not an enemy. What question do you have for me today?
Yes, I have two questions, basically. My husband is looking to get a new job with Success. The name of the company is called Success Media Group.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to find out if he's going to get that job. And also, there's a gentleman by the name of Donald who lives in Texas who's agreed to finance my, a day spa that I want to open, a healing center.
Well, which question is the priority for you?
The second one.
The second one. All right, let's take the second one because that's already the one that I think you need to focus on. If you have this party who is wanting to finance it, you need to be very thoughtful because the picture that you have in mind really needs to have some work done with it. And I think you need to do a little bit more research because I believe the costs are going to be more than what you expect.
Right.
And this is not the time to have someone get involved right at this moment without really having a clear picture of what it is that is the big picture and then working backwards to the smaller one. Because what I'm looking at...
He's a billionaire. I just want to find out if he's going to go ahead finance it.
No, not right away. No. The bigger picture appeals to him, but there's going to actually be, once this would be started, there are two moves that would be made, and it would have to do with expansion and location.
And then
I'm looking just at the first one, and then I'm looking at the second one. So there's a lot that's going to be involved with this, and it is going to be quite an intense commitment.
Right.
This person will definitely be interested if the information you give this individual has a what I would call the ring of numbers to it and has some real good background information. That way, you're going to be able to come out okay. If you don't do this, I think that there will be a lot of verbal support, but there won't be the dollars coming in.
Okay.
And you have to be very careful of the contract.
When do you think he'll get back in touch with me?
I don't think he's going to get back in touch with you real soon because I don't know that he believes that you're really serious about this.
Oh, I think he does.
Well, I don't know. I think he talks, but I don't know that he really feels you are. I think you're going to need to show him that you are.
Uh-huh.
And there's a big difference.
I think I've showed him that. But, so you think he might in the next couple of months get back in touch with me, or?
No, I think that it's going to be up to you to follow through. And I think when you follow through, you need to follow through with him in such a way and manner that it is going to be able to show him that, yes, you are for real, you are doing your homework, you are putting things together, and you have made the connections with the people that are necessary, and you do it to inform him. And that's fine. But I wouldn't just depend on him. I think you're going to have to get some other people interested as well.
You think some other people will be?
I think you're going to have to work at locating them.
Then I have to go looking.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hon, I'm going to have to limit to just the one question today. But I want to thank you for your call. This is Donna Sebo, and our toll-free number, if you would like to call in and chat with me, is 877-876-5227. I'm going to take this time and opportunity to speak to you about an event that I'm participating in for the next 3 weekends. It's the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Now, this is Washington State, and it is such an outstanding event. It is one that I've been involved with for years. I have a chance to enter into a time period that allows you to wear costumes. It's the 16th century. And this Renaissance Fantasy Fair, when you walk through the gates, you are into a different time zone. You'll see people, pickle lady selling her pickles from a wheelbarrow. You'll see the wonderful, wonderful juggler that's up on stilts that makes him 12 feet tall. You'll meet all kinds of people from all different stations and positions of that time period. And you know what? If you want to come in costume, you can do that, or you can even rent a costume. They have wonderful, wonderful services there where you can go and rent a costume for the entire day. So you don't even have to go out shopping for one. You can stop by the magnificent tent where you will be able to pick up a costume, wear it for the entire day, get into the world of pretend at the Renaissance Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And again, that's August 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th. Now go to their website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, RENSAIRE.com. And you will be able to get discounted tickets and find out all kinds of good things. Donna Sebo here. We have another caller. Let's go to this caller who's been waiting so patiently. Thank you so much. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Is it me?
Yes, it's you. Hi, me, but I'm going to need a name.
My name is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Where are you?
I am in San Francisco.
San Francisco, one of my favorite cities. Okay, Kathy, as I'm observing you, I really feel you are on the just ready to break through a major barrier that you have been battling with for such a long time. And as I'm watching you, I'm fascinated because you have got so much pluck. I mean, you are really a go-getter. You are someone that if someone said, you got to go out and climb Mount Everest because there's this money that needs to be raised for this group, then by golly, we're going to make it to the top. You're going to say, I'm right there. I'll be one of the leaders. You are just a go-getter. But when it comes to yourself, you don't always give all of that energy to you. Well, you are making a major breakthrough. You're making a major breakthrough because you're recognizing that it's time for you. And I think a long time ago, someone called it the art of selfishness. But it's not selfishness in the sense of me, 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 and the rest of the world can go to, you know, where in a handbasket. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that you realize you have to give to yourself first. You have to give to yourself first so that then you have all of this that you're going to be able to share with other people. And I really like what I'm seeing. And this breakthrough of giving to the self, which is happening, I think it's going to really occur before the 9th of September. It's starting you on a whole new direction. There's education involved. There's dealing with money, learning how to handle money much more effectively. There is a whole new agenda and plan for your own levels of priorities that are closest to your heart and to your mind. I just think you're breaking loose, lady. You're leaving the dock. You are saying, I'm going to go and I'm going to flow with the current. But you've got your zodiac. This is almost comical. It's like I'm watching a cartoon. You're leaving the dock. You've got your zodiac. You've got your emergency kit. You're totally prepared and you're ready. And that's how you are making the shift. All of your experiences, everything is going to come together, my dear. You are going to do beautifully. Your hard work is paying off, and you've got brand new adventures right in front of you, just upcoming this fall. So hang tough, dear. You're doing beautifully.
Thank you. That sounds absolutely magnificent.
Now, do you have a question for me?
I guess my question would be around a romantic relationship with a man.
All right. What's your question?
My question would be, is that going to be included in my package?
The package, when I'm seeing you on the Zodiac, you're pretty much by yourself. And the reason I'm seeing you by yourself is because you're the one that's making the breakthrough. Now, when you're asking me about a partner, there are a number of people that I'm seeing that might be interested in you, but you have gone through some experiences that have burned you so badly that you're not getting out of your Zodiac and going to shore. It's as if they have to, that individual has to have their own Zodiac, and they have to come out and meet you and be willing to experience the journey. And I think that's the right attitude. I don't see that as being arrogant at all, because you have come through so much and you have been willing to let go of what's no longer necessary in your life. That companion, that partner, I think, is going to be coming around into the picture by June of next year.
That sounds great.
And I think they're going to be stepping up to the plate and approaching you. Now, that doesn't mean I wouldn't want you to date or to go out and have a good time, but I think this is a person that's going to really be that kind of individual that you would really want to share your life with in a very special way.
That sounds excellent.
So remember, dear, you don't have to compromise. You did enough of that in the past.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
No more.
Everything you said was right, 100% right on.
Well, thank you.
Thank
you.
You
know, I've got to take a break, dear. And I so appreciate your being with me this afternoon. And be sure and tell your friends about the show.
I will.
All right, dear. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. And, hey, the phone line is open if you'd like to give me a buzz. 877-876-5227. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna, 877-876-5227, and I want to remind you again about the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. You know, people come in from all over the country to be able to experience this wonderful stepping back in time into the 16th century. And what is so awesome is that because it is fantasy, you are able to let your imagination just go wild, and people have the most wonderful time. There are 3 weekends for family fun, and you can do a couple of things. You can go to their website, which is Washington Ren Fair, FAIRE.com, Washington REN, FAIRE.com, and you'll find the information about it being located at the Minter Creek Ranch in Gig Harbor, Washington. They'll give you discounted tickets. You can print your own tickets, and you don't have to wait in those long, long lines. We have tens of thousands of people that come out every year to this fabulous event. Now, I will be out there doing my appearance every weekend, and I have a booth, if you will, right on Main Street. Look for the bright golden yellow banners with beautiful red lions on them, and you'll know you've got the right place. And while I'm there, I'm going to be doing little mini consultations for people that stop by. And that's not the only thing that's going on. My goodness, they've got 8 stages of entertainment. They have jousting, all kinds of equestrian events. The kids love to see all of the animals that are there. And there's Celtic music, dancing, storytelling, the balladeers that wander around are great, the merchants. They have wares from all over the world. And it is just fabulous, fabulous fun. So, again, go to WashingtonRenFair.com. And you'll be able to get your tickets in advance. Get a discount, too. And the hours are from 9 until 6. Come on by my booth and say hello. I'd be delighted to meet with you. Or you can give them a call at 800-359-5948. You can't beat this for great family fun and the entertainment. Well, it is just wonderfully, wonderfully unique. Again, all relating to the 16th century. Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Have you ever wondered where etiquette came from? Well, if you are like me, there's always someone that was going to be telling you what to do when you were growing up. Keep your elbows off the table. Make sure you don't talk with your mouth full. There's etiquette. Well, when I was a young girl, there were columns in newspaper, and of course today we have Miss Manners, and there are other people, and you can go to your public library and find out about etiquette, and every culture has its own etiquette. However, when it comes to the European version, which most of us are fairly familiar with, well, rules for behavior, and when research is actually done, go back, well, as far as there's been any civilization. However, etiquette becomes very, very important, especially historically when there has been what's considered a class instability. Now, the very first printed European conduct books arose during the French and Italian Renaissance and during the twilight of feudalism and the rise of an urban merchant class. Now, social manners at this time became increasingly refined as a way of keeping distance between the classes. I'd love to see some of those old books because, you know, they really weren't too big on manners. Let's say you take a bite of meat, you throw it over your shoulder, the dogs get it, eat it off the floor. Ugh. Well, anyway, they had their little rules of etiquette, and it was very important that as you became wealthier, that there were certain acts of proprietary behavior. So the heyday in the Americas here was during our Gilded Age. Now, etiquette authorities at that time saw their mission to instill a more aristocratic style of behavior, one, quote, consonant with the improving fortunes of the middle class. So manners made a difference. The more money you made, the more you had to know about etiquette. Now, etiquette has never strayed far from its original intent, and that's to protect rulers from contact with lesser persons. Now, the word itself, etiquette, is Old French for ticket, meaning a written order indicating to a soldier where he was to be billeted. And military housing assignments may have been the very first rules of etiquette. Eventually, all orders of the day might have found their way into large etiquettes posted conspicuously around army camps. And there are a lot of people that believe, authorities as they are called, believe that such public lists of things to be done were the forerunners of etiquette manuals. It's so fascinating when you get into finding out about etiquette for different cultures. One thing that I learned, for example, when you use chopsticks, if you are in Japan, when you are, they usually have their dishes on a Lazy Susan type of an arrangement, so you go and you take what you want from whatever is in the middle of the table, and then you spin it around so other people can get to it, and you take what you will and put it in your bowl. Well, you never use your narrow ends of the chopsticks, like you would use them for eating, you never use that end. You turn them around and you use the thicker ends of your chopsticks to remove food from that bowl, and then you flip them around and use the smaller ends for eating. It's considered very impolite. It's sort of how we feel about double dipping when you're at a snack bowl. So, rules of etiquette, if ever you're going to travel internationally, it's always a good idea to go to your local public library and find out what is the latest. Oh, my goodness, we're all out of time. The hour flies when you're having fun, and it's been absolutely marvelous. This is my first hour back at the 3 to 4 slot. Tell your friends, remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul, and know in your heart that who you are does make a difference. You really do make a difference. You make this world shine just because of the uniqueness of who you are. Oh, by the way, my newsletter has gone up. Go to DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find my newsletter is up there so you can read it for your pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. It has been a great hour this afternoon, and I'm delighted you were able to join me. And tomorrow we'll have another guest. We're going to be talking about a month of Sundays. Good ice cream recipes. Talk to you then. Bye for now.